You put the star six on because I have noisy birds.
All righty. I was going to explain about that. This is Shelley Koppel, and I sure am happy that so many people are on the call. This is really great. We're just starting
to talk about things.
Hello,
for the blind, about what they do with their leisure time.
Right. Let me explain something, please. This is Shelley Koppel, and what we want to do is everybody put on the star six on your phone, which allows you to hear what people are saying, but it mutes all the background noise, so we don't get all that background noise. And then when you want to speak, do a star six again, and it will allow you to speak your question to the group. And then when you get finished with your question, do another star six, and that will mute you again. And the phone will let you know when you are muted and when you're not. And I need to do that as well. But that way we can listen with not a lot of background noise and ask questions and be heard. So let me do that.
Okay, I'm doing it now.
And we're all supposed to do that?
Yes, everyone but Shelley. If Shelley, you don't dare mute yourself, we won't hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now? Okay.
Good.
Yeah, okay. So everyone there. Now, see, it's quiet for me so that I can hear things. So that is wonderful. Yes, we're going to talk about getting out and about today. And I wanted to let people know that you're welcome to ask questions at any time. Just announce that your name and that you're going to ask a question, and then I will acknowledge you, and we go for about an hour. The first thing I would like to say is a really good attitude about blindness and visual impairment is what we need to have to be able to start in this venture of thinking that we can get out and about and be able to do what we want to do. I'd like to read part of the tagline for the National Federation of the Blind, which says, "You can live the life you want. Blindness is not what holds you back." And we like to reference that because I think a lot of times philosophy and kind of an attitude about how we perceive ourselves can be a stumbling block as much as, you know, the fact that we maybe need skills in that. Because if we have the right thinking about what we want to do and a determination to get out and try things, then I think it's a lot of the battle is won, so to speak. Skills training is very important, and that you want skills to be able to resume your life, what it has always been. Some people that are blind and visually impaired all their lives still need skills. Maybe they haven't had as many opportunities. Maybe they've lost more vision and they don't have as
confidence.
And we're doing a star six so that we can mute the background of our calls. And then when you ask a question, you do a star six and it will unmute you. Okay, so I just repeated that because there's been some new people on board. So we do need training. We need friends. We need friends to go alongside of us. We need our families, our former friends, new friends that are blind and visually impaired, because those people are the ones that are living through the same thing you're living through and can really help you with possibly helping you be trained, giving you information that's very helpful to you. And in order to put the skills to use, the adaptive skills we need for blindness, you need to have confidence to be able to utilize these skills. And I say this because I was one that grew up visually impaired kind of considered a low vision kid all my life. And when I became 14, my vision changed pretty drastically. And it was going to deteriorate, but I was unwilling to realize that, or admit, I guess is the word I want, that was going to be happening. So as I got into my later teens and early 20s, my vision went from being able to read regular print that was pretty dark to needing to read big print written by a big marker, and then I still usually couldn't read what I'd written. And I needed a cane. I went through some training in the great state of Idaho and the Commission for the Blind, and it was a wonderful time for me. I kind of came out of my shell as being visually impaired, met a lot of people who are very competent at their adaptive skills, alternative skills for blindness. And at first, I kind of went through the motions, but eventually these people became very dear friends of mine. And by being around them, I could identify with the way that was more efficient for me to do things was using an alternative method. And cane travel was probably the biggest asset that I learned. And I didn't want to use a cane. It was very visible. I was thinking I was looking awkward. I thought other people looked at me awkwardly. And as I lost more vision, I realized that it was me that had the problem, not the white cane. The white cane allowed me to do things I wasn't comfortable with normally doing. But it was me that had to get over that stumbling block of feeling different. And I realized that, you know, people are going to be people. There's people that are going to go with the flow and get involved and with you and get involved in your life and love you for who you are. But then there's always people that are not going to, you know, be quite as close or may not have quite the same thoughts in life as you do or interests. And so you've got to kind of build a network of people around you that you can educate and help understand what you're going through, and then will allow you to be the person you want to be. And so I thought by talking about travel, we cover several different fun activities, eating out, you know, getting groceries, going to movies, going to theaters. But I want to tackle each of these maybe a topic at a time, if that's helpful. If not, just feel free to jump in at any point and ask your questions. I know there are very good centers, National Federation of the Blind centers in the country, but there are many states who have very wonderful training centers and a lot of good people out there that really do know how to use canes. And sometimes you need a support cane. Sometimes you need, for stability, you need other kinds of adaptive equipment as well, and those are all fine. I think the biggest thing to keep in mind with all of these alternative techniques is that we want to be in control of what we're doing. We can ask for help, but we just need to be the ones kind of directing what our needs are. Are there any questions at this point?
I have one.
Alrighty.
This is Ann from Atlanta. I've been totally blind all my life, and I'm discovering that I would say within the last, I'll just throw out 5 years, I don't know, the acceptance and of people knowing how to talk to me, relate to me, has just totally gone down the drain. Doctors, bankers, waiters, people at the stores, of course, manners have sort of disappeared in a way too, but because they don't say, welcome to the store, how can I help you, so that you know they're ready for you. They just look at you, and the person, and they'll ask the person who's with me, how can I help her, what does she want, does she want more coffee? And actually what's happening, it's gotten so bad now, they don't even say, does she want more coffee anymore? They don't even bother to ask, and they get what they want. They run off, And then the person who's with me has to go chase them down to say, hey, hey, wait a minute, she wants some too. They don't even bother to even ask me anymore. I mean, it's really bad out here.
Well,
and it's gradually gotten bad. It hasn't always been this bad at all. But people just don't know how to relate. They act like, I fell out of the sky blind yesterday. It's what I feel like, the freak that fell out of the sky blind yesterday, because it's like all of a sudden people just don't know how to take it. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to talk to you, or they ask somebody else. It's like everybody's my interpreter. Does she, is she, if they even bother to do that.
Wow. Well, that's too bad. I can tell you what my tendency has been, and I've had those experiences when somebody will say, what does she want, or the person with you, how can I help her? I'll say, well, I need, and I'll say, I'm very happy to speak up for you. I do understand what you're saying, and it's not always with the most grace. It didn't start out being with the best of attitudes, but as I went along and after, I guess I'm thinking two different things. Sometimes we have to grow within ourselves to not have kind of a sarcastic, maybe, or I don't know what the word would be. We have to have a good way to respond and educate people. I think we are always about education because people have to learn how to act around us, and we're the best people to tell them. But the other side of it is we need to do it with as much kindness as we can muster up for the situation.
May I share? My
sure.
Name is Jerry.
Something kind
Jerry
of short.
McGinty, and I experienced similar situation with a doctor. New doctor. And I went to the doctor, and my daughter was with me, and the doctor started asking her all of the questions and directing to her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not totally blind. I'm legally blind. So I just interrupted him, and I said, I'm sorry to interrupt you, doctor, but I don't want you to think that I can't answer my questions. I probably know more about my medical needs than my daughter. I can answer any of those questions. And he said, oh, I'm sorry. Were we talking as though you weren't here? And I said, yes. And I wanted to bring to your attention that I was here. He was fine, and from that point on, he addressed me. So that was my experience.
Yeah.
I get that all the time.
Right. I do know there are some categories of medical people that I think just, they're in a different focus than we are. They're into fixing things, and when they can't fix something, they kind of don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
And so they can't necessarily fix our blindness, and so they sometimes think, well, then I'll just ignore that part about you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, we need to let them know that, no, they don't need to ignore us. They need to include us. Now, some of this education can be done through, if people are involved in the National Federation of the Blind, through your local chapters and things like that. There's also things you can conduct in your local areas, like possibility fairs where you invite these kind of medical professionals. And then you have an opportunity where they can learn from us as blind people how best to conduct themselves around us and have a lot of information and pamphlets. There are some very wonderful pamphlets and stuff that the NFB distributes that are very helpful to physicians and doctors and professionals and things like this.
But Shelley, what has changed? Because it didn't used to be this bad. It's like it's gotten really, really bad in the last few years. I mean, it's always been out there, but it just seems like everywhere I go, I come home with a story of how somebody wants to give my change to the person who's with me, how the doctors want to talk to the person who's with me. Forget bankers. Bankers think, I guess, we don't even have an account or are incapable of having one. They really don't want to talk to us. But it didn't used to be this bad, and it's like, what has changed to cause this to become so bad?
Rebecca Bryant from New Jersey.
Yes.
I think we all, as blind or visually impaired people, have experienced all of those things. And it used to annoy me a lot. Then I realized that the people that do this to us, they're really doing it out of love. They don't mean any harm. I'm the president of my chapter. So what I tell my chapter is our job as blind people to educate the public. And when I'm going out, whether I'm with a PCA or whom I'm with, I always ask them, don't speak for me. Don't accept my monies for me. I'm capable of doing that myself. The only thing that's wrong are the eyes. Everything else works. So then they already know. When we go to the store or to the doctor, wherever we go, and the people address them, they'll say, talk to her. She can hear you. She can speak. So that's a help to me. And I also let the people know, and I do it in a loving way, and I let them know it's an insulting to me when you take it upon yourself to think that I can't hear or speak for myself. I said that's an insult because I can. And for most parts, they seem to appreciate me explaining it to them. So if we help people to help us, I think, you know, that's a start.
I would agree with that. The lady that, I apologize, that initially started this question, what is your name?
Ann.
Okay. Now, do you use some kind of identifying, like a cane or a white cane, long white cane or something like that identifies your visual impairment?
No, I usually, when I'm with somebody, I just do sighted guide. I'm with them and, you know, I go to the doctor and I go up to the counter and, you know, if the person's standing beside me and they've got to sign me in and they've got to do the printed,
well,
you know,
sure.
And they'll hand her the page and say, you know, would you please fill this out for her? And, of course, they do have to fill out any paperwork for me. But then
for
they've
sure.
already got their attention, so that gives them kind of a reason to start talking to them, and then I start answering the questions. If it's something that's not pertaining to the information they need to fill out.
Right. Well,
but the first thing that happens everywhere I go, the nurse comes out to get me and says, has she been to this doctor before? I cannot tell you how many times that's happened.
Okay. Excuse me. If somebody's got some real background noise that's making it hard for me to hear, if somebody could do a *6 if they haven't, to mute themselves so we can... I'm sorry. I just was having trouble hearing. Now, the biggest thing I can think of is partially we have to be willing to identify ourselves as blind people. And I think by not doing that, you are kind of opening more of a Pandora's box than what you intend, because I have people that help me with the paperwork, or I'll have them send it to me, and I've got a reader that comes. My husband and I do once a week, and we have our reader fill it out, or a daughter, or somebody like that, and we'll take it in filled out. But if I haven't been there before, oftentimes I will get there early, and the office help will do it. But I tend to go in by myself as much as I can. It's not always possible, but as much as I can, and I am totally blind for the last many years. And I do use a white cane, even if I'm going sighted guide with people, just because it answers that question for people. Why are you needing help? Why are other people helping you when you look visibly, like you don't have any eyesight problems. And so they're thinking, well, maybe there's a cognitive issue and you can't understand or something. Now that shouldn't be. I totally get that. But
some
that's
people
a lot
think
of times
that, right.
where people come from. And so if you've got some identifying, tool with you, like your long white cane, or which is, I think, is the best, then I think people are a little less willing and ready to do everything for you and talk for you and all that kind of thing. Now, that's the background I've had. Yes. Yes, Estelle.
Yeah, this is Estelle.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. I attend the support group at the senior support group at the Colorado Center for the Blind, and we started an outreach program where we are distributing kernel books with Braille alphabet cards and the courtesy rules of blindness all over Metro Denver. We encourage people to take them to waiting rooms. I take them and send them to libraries all over the metro area, and we have distributed around 1,000 of them so far. And I would encourage these people to carry these with them, and when they meet up with a situation like that, they could have something to hand to the people. The materials are all free from NFB. You can order as many kernel books as you want and alphabet cards and the courtesy rules of blindness and whatever other information you'd like. And then if you carry them with you, when an instance like this comes up, you'd have something to hand to these people and say, well, maybe this will help you understand the dealing with blind people.
I think that's a very good suggestion. That's excellent. Yeah.
Robert, would they even read it?
Pardon?
Would they read it? Do you think they would
read
it?
Oh, sure they would.
The kernel books are especially nice because they have stories of blind people writing about their lives. And a lot of people like to read the little stories. And at the same time, it will educate them a little bit more about, you know, what it's like being a blind person.
May I interrupt?
Yes,
this
go
is
ahead.
This is Stanley from Hawaii.
Okay.
Just wanted to second, carry your cane. I'm not totally blind, but I live in a very, very busy city in Waikiki, Hawaii, and constantly people with the white cane, they know that I'm waiting for the light to turn, and they assist me. I love to have them assist me. I stay alive that way. But this is nice talking for the first time. Thank you.
I'm so glad you're here with us, Stan. That's great to have our Hawaii friends with us. That's neat. I would agree, and that's what I was referring to. You don't have to have lost all your sight to use the cane, and I think it does give people a different – well, and it also gives you an opportunity, if they help you, to talk to them and say – and I ask, well, what are you doing today? Are you a student, if they sound younger, or just what is your occupation? And it gives you an open door to interact with them, and that way they realize if this is like if you're just out and about in the public. But I think, too, if you introduce yourself at a doctor's office and, hi, how's your day going, or throw something in that's kind of common like that, I think people are a lot more willing to, you know, just kind of treat you as a regular person.
Uh-huh. Really?
Yeah.
Mary Ellen from Idaho.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I think these are all really good ideas that have come up. And I think to answer your question, Anne, about why does it seem worse now, sometimes, we can hand out kernel books, and those are all great ideas. But sometimes I feel like the only way to really get people educated is to do it one by one. You know, the people we meet, it has to be just one by one. And you know, I think for closer friends, our doctors, that's something we have to accept. I tell students that, you know, the rest of your life you're going to be educating people, so be ready. And anyway, that's what I've found with my experience.
I appreciate that. I do agree. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
We're almost halfway through this hour, so it's really always a part of our our conversation has to be, as we've been talking here, dealing with others. But golly, we better also spend some time talking about, you know, the topics here. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So anyway, great discussion, guys. So Ms. Shelley, get us back on this other topic.
All righty. So in traveling out and about. Okay. I thought I heard something. Like things about willingness to go out and eat. That's one of the areas that I was talking about. And I don't know what people have for public transportation, or maybe you are in a small enough community you can walk there. Again, I think the travel and having some way to build your skills as a blind and visually impaired person are just crucial, and having people to do things with. Now, when I go into a grocery store, I might get out of a cab, and they've parked kind of parallel maybe to the main door so that I can go in. And you kind of assess that you're near the busy area where you listen for cash registers, and then you can ask somebody for help. Which direction do I go to get to customer service? And I think it's totally great to ask for directions inside of a place because, you know, that's again, interaction with the personnel at the store. It's you talking so they realize you can figure this stuff out. And if they walk, if people offer, do you need my arm or whatever, I'll often say, no, just go ahead and walk with me. Just keep talking and walk with me. That would be great. And by doing that, again, you're using your white cane. You're showing that you can follow and get around, and you can kind of listen for different cues or go by turns that you make, left turn and whatnot, and then, you know, following people that way. And you pick up on things after repeating the same store several times. You would pick up on the same, you know, how to get to a certain area of a store. Now, we also would ask for somebody to go around and shop with us. And the grocery store that we go to, we've called ahead of time when we first were married and started going, knew we were going to shop at this store, and I said, we're blind, but we're going to shop about every couple of weeks, and we'd like to know if it's okay to have one of the clerks go through the store with us. And they were very willing to accommodate us. And after doing this for a few years, we've gotten to know several people. It's educated a lot of the clerks there. We know exactly what products we want. We may not always know a brand, but I hold things so I can feel what they are like. Things like this give people the idea that you really do follow, you know, what's going on around you. And so just don't be afraid to jump out there and take that first try at going places. Or if you go with a family member, hold on to the back, you know, maybe hold on to the cart and tell them what you need, but you be in control of what you're needing and, excuse me, what you're wanting to find. And then if you say, well, go ahead and tell me other specials you might see, they can identify those things for you. Those are the use of alternative techniques, because you're using the sight of people that are with you for a specific purpose, and you're directing them. Now, in a department store, if I was going to a department store, I might listen for where there are cash registers. And you can find main aisles often are tiled. Now, not always. But even if you get in an area that you're in the middle of a bunch of racks, if you can listen for things like cash registers or a busy area of the store and head towards that, you can at least ask somebody, can you tell me where the cashier center is so I can find somebody to help me shop? The other thing you can do is you could call the store ahead of time. If you were needing to look for clothing, you could call the store ahead of time and say, I'm coming in to do some shopping. I'll be coming in to the mall at this time or this store at this time. This is what I'm going to be wearing. And maybe tell them what entrance you're coming in, and they can be prepared to assist you in that way. And again, using a long white cane, if you use a dog, guide dog, you need to know enough about cane travel and that kind of thing to be able to orient yourself and help the dog get oriented. I mean, in other words, you're doing the leading. The dog is kind of helping you skirt around obstacles and things, but you're still listening for the cash register or whether it's groups of people or things like this. I thought about movies and theaters. The same kind of thing. A regular movie theater, it's fine to ask if you, and hopefully you're with people. Hopefully you're not doing everything on your own. But what my thought in that is, but don't be afraid to go out on your own. And it might be kind of a little iffy the first couple of times you do it, but it's totally not impossible. To go into a movie theater, you've got I'll just leave it at that, and people can ask questions if they want to. Another thing is a lot of us are grandparents. What do we do with our grandchildren? Do we ever go out and do the zoo with our grandchildren? Or how do we direct them to help us if we need it? Or are we using alternative methods of getting around to where they realize that we're able to find our way around, but we're willing to go to some places like the zoo or outside in the backyard to play with them and can keep our direction and things like this. Those are just some general things that I guess it's a combination of the skill with the desire to want to do it. What would people's thoughts be on some of these issues?
Stanley talking again.
Yes.
Yeah. I find that if I can just get out of the house every morning and start.
Well, I would have kept it if I had known that. Golly, I didn't know that.
Could you go over the star six thing again, Shelley?
Yes, I was going to say that. It is quite distracting. There's a couple people that have not done that, and it makes it very difficult to ask questions. Okay, Stanley, go ahead and continue.
I get out as early as I can in the morning to do shopping and things like that. I find that the help is busy on the floor, but at least they're on the floor, and you can contact them. And I also always have my cane open. I don't collapse it when I go in the store. I make sure it's open. And there are people who recognize the cane. They don't just walk by me. And that's helped me learn more about the store so I don't have to be dependent as much. And I just, you know, get an early start to your day, and that might help.
That's a very good idea because the stores aren't usually quite as trafficked early in the day. And they're there, they're fresh, they're ready to help first thing in the day at 10 o'clock or however early they open. And it is a good idea to get started. And you're a little more energetic and stuff ourselves, too. So we have a little better focus on things early in the day. Now, the star six mutes us so that we can not have to listen to background noise, but we can hear each other talk and ask questions. So, okay. I think that's a very good suggestion. Another thing is just getting out and walking around in your neighborhood can give you some encouragement. Taking your cane and going around the neighborhood, you know your neighbors possibly, or maybe if you don't, it's a good chance to know them. And by talking to them and listening for activity outside and things, it's a good way to kind of get us started with how to get out doing things on our own. Yes? Did someone have a question? Oh, okay. I just want to make sure I don't miss somebody. Getting out in the neighborhood, and then if you've got a good walking area, just take a walk every day. People are noticing canes. They do notice us, and they have a real upbeat attitude when they see somebody walking around with a cane because they realize that, you know, we are part of the community, we're willing to be out and about, And I've had a lot of times where I've gone into a store and somebody's walks by me or something and says, oh, I saw you out on Platt Springs Road or something the other day. And I said, yep, I was just out for a walk or whatever. And so it gets you out to where you're visible and people view you as somebody that's part of the community and wants to, you know, be involved. Now, certainly when you might be out with your grandchildren or something like this, I think it's good to maybe as much as you're able to be around them, kind of use your alternative ways of doing things at home. Don't always ask them to read everything, or if you already know, I guess is what I'm saying. Use your Braille. Use your organizational skills of where you've already put things to get things out so that they see you doing things. And then when you're out, say, at a movie or at the zoo or something like that, you just walk with holding your hand, and you're using one cane in your whichever hand, and then they're holding your other hand, and you can know where they're at and be safe with them. But yet you're the one that's still kind of leading the activity, and they can comment on things that are around, and, you know, as they get older, you know, they're able to talk and tell you where things are. But if you're the one that kind of initiates heading in that direction and doing things with them, I think they're going to be a little more understanding of your abilities. Now, I don't want to leave anybody out if you've got specific questions on how do you get around in a movie theater, or how you do you get around in a department store or something like that. That's kind of getting out and about. That's kind of what this segment is about. So if somebody has some specific questions, feel free to ask them. Well, I know that and if I'm not giving enough time, that's fine too. But do most people do either do your errands yourself or go do errands? Like, I don't know, do you go to grocery stores yourselves and maybe go to a movie with a friend once in a while, and or go to church, get out and go to church, things like this?
Hi, this is Ann in Connecticut.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I live in a 40-unit apartment building.
Okay.
So I am one of 40 people here in this building. And I go outside. I walk around here. I walk all over the building, of course. And I go outside, and I've gotten to know, I've been here for 4 years now. Of course, there's a great turnover of people, like there is in every apartment building.
Right.
And I get around quite nicely here. However, between me and the main street, it's not very safe to walk. So normally I will go with a friend, and we go out walking sometimes, and we'll go out, and I use my cane whenever I go. The unfortunate thing, too, in the town in which I live, we do not have a public bus here, or we have the dial-a ride is very limited, so I'll usually go with a friend. But I always take my cane, and I always go as independently as I can. And at one time, I did do my food shopping by myself when I lived in another area of town.
Right.
My late husband, who used the power wheelchair, would drop me at the store. I'd walk into the food store, and I'd go to the service desk and ask for help. And there's nothing wrong with doing that.
No.
And I had people walk around the store with me and help me do my shopping. And it does get you out, and it does get you around, and people will recognize you. Like you said, they'll say, oh, gee, I saw you last week in Walmart, or I remember seeing you in this place or that place. And, well, you make friends that way, too.
Exactly. You sure do. You sure do.
Rebecca Bryant from New Jersey.
Yes, Rebecca?
I'm a lot like Ann. I will go grocery shopping by myself. I will get out and go anywhere by myself. If I can't get someone to go with me or take me, I don't let it stop me.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do want to add, sometimes I might have to go to the doctor's. Now, if it's a doctor's office where I've never been, before I go, the day before I go, a couple of days before I go, I call the doctor's office and ask them to give me a demonstration or tell me about the building. When I walk in the building, where exactly is the elevator? What floor you are, and how many doors from the elevator is your office? So I get an outline of the office and the building. So if I do go by myself, I know exactly where I'm going, and that helps me a lot. Even flying, I travel by myself at times. I'll go into the airport, you know, to the desk. I'll check in. And I'll tell them I need assistance. I'm very independent. But if I need assistance, I'm not too shameful for assistance. Of course, when they bring the wheelchair, I let them know all I need is an elbow. I don't need a wheelchair.
Yeah,
and I find it to be a lot of fun sometimes because I've always been an independent person. I've been blind 11 years, and so the more independence I gain as a blind person, the better I feel about myself. So it gives you a good feeling, a good, you know, a self-esteem, and not only that, it gives you confidence in yourself.
Very good. Very good. That's excellent. Those are exactly the things I was thinking of. Exactly. Very good. Yes? No, that's really true. That's really true. You just have to go ahead and decide that you're going to live life the way you want to and get out and try these things. But I think always having your cane and always at least, you know, you can ask for help along the way, but if you have your cane and you're just kind of already going, people will give you it helps your self-esteem. I agree with that 100%.
Hi, this is Margie from Kapolei, Hawaii. I have low vision. I started to learn the cane, but I had a terrible incident because I live in a senior center, and some women made fun of me, and they used to run the place over here. They don't now. So I'm careful. I take the handy van. I go to the store. But if you use the white cane, how do you run your grocery cart and get groceries while trying to do your caning? I mean, I don't know how you would do that. Is there a way around that? If you use the cane to get around the store, how do you try to steer your grocery basket, get the food, and put it in there when you get the cane going?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, what I would do is, if you're right-handed, I would use my cane in my right hand, but I would pull the cart behind me with my left hand, or vice versa. But instead of being in the back where the handle is, I'd be in the front where the end of the buggy is, into the cart, grocery cart, and I'd pull it behind me.
Pull it behind you while you use the cane.
Right.
And then you
can use your cane in what's called a pencil grip, where you hold it literally kind of like you would a pencil in between your fingers, and you still move left and right in front of you, but it's pulled in. Because of the pencil grip, it's already pulled in quite a bit closer to you, so therefore you're not using quite such a wide arc in a store where there's going to be other people and kind of busy.
Oh, children. Yes, children.
Right.
They're very unpredictable. You have to really watch them.
Right.
Yeah.
And the other thing is listening. And then if you happen to bump into somebody, just say, oh, excuse me, you know, and or I didn't hear you, or make comments like this. And then I think people get to where they'll say something when they see you coming so that, you know, you don't have to necessarily find them first, but that's not all bad either, because then you at least know where somebody is. But if you think you hear something, just say hello or is someone there, and if they're close enough, they'll usually go, oh, hi, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm in your way. And they'll scoot over and you can scoot over, and then that way you're, you know, a little better off that way.
Oh, okay. Just make sure you don't put too much in your cart to be too heavy to pull.
Well, that's true, too. That might be true, too.
Rebecca Bryan again?
Sure.
I love idea for the grocery store. When I go to the grocery store, of course, I always go to the customer service, and they get someone to take me around the grocery store. So what I let the person know, we can work out better if you pull the cart and I hold on to the back of the cart.
Right.
And that usually works out good. But as I'm entering the store, like you said, the cane is so important. Our cane speaks volume. As soon as people see us with the cane, at least, you know, from what I've experienced, they come up to me automatically. You need help, you know.
Now, I
go to the same grocery store all the time, and they kind of know me, you know, the guard there, he knows me. But during the shopping, I never actually went around the store by myself. I always would get assistance because I didn't want to, you know, knock everything off the shelf. So,
well, sure, and
sometimes. Assistance, yes.
Sure. Now, if you're in a neighborhood small grocery store and you know the you only want a half gallon of milk, and you know where
mm-hmm.
the milk is. Now, you might not be able to, well, you might be able to pick out the skim or the whole milk or whatever, but sometimes you could do that kind of thing on your own. But if you're needing several things, it's no problem. Now, the other thing I was thinking of, too, with having your cane in the grocery store
mm-hmm.
is if you know the store well enough and you're picking things out and using your cane and pulling your cart, I might be in a situation where I might lay my cane down parallel with the cart for a second, grab something off the shelf that's a little heavier, like a 12-pack of soda or something, and then pick my cane back up. Now, I might do that, but that's a little better than kind of trying to rustle your cane while you're picking up something heavy, and then you might accidentally trip somebody and not realize you're doing it or something.
Right.
But yeah, but those are very good ideas. Yeah. And I like the traveling through the airport. That is one thing. I do a lot of traveling as well, and I really enjoy it. That's one of the fun things. I enjoy people and the hustle and bustle and the
mm-hmm.
going new places and all that kind of thing. But I think you do have to, if you do want assistance getting from gate to gate or something you don't feel quite sure about striking out on your own, there again, you've got to let them know that you're in charge. And by doing that, you have to say, I only want your elbow, or I just want you to walk with me. I do not need a wheelchair. Sometimes they can get pretty strange about that. You have to be pretty insistent. Now, a majority of the time, I find that people are willing to hear you out. But every now and then, you run into that one person that's just a little, like Mary Ellen said, you just have to take one person at a time and kind of educate them. But
Shelley?
Yes.
I think that with special assistance at the airport, I think the wheelchair just automatically comes with it.
Right.
And that's just part of it. And then when they show up with it, then you say, oh, I don't need the wheelchair. I just need the elbow.
Right.
Because I think it does come with it.
I think you're correct. It didn't used to necessarily be that way, but they've changed some things. So, yes. Yes. That's true. How about going on vacations? I guess air travel is part of that. How about a cruise? Who's been on a cruise?
This is Joanne from Georgia.
Yeah.
I've been on a couple of cruises, and, you know, they're pretty helpful. But a couple of weeks ago, I went to China, my husband and I.
Oh, my goodness.
And the only problem that I had when I went into the restrooms, they have – some of the restrooms are not modern, or some of them have both, but they have this hole in the ground that you go to.
Yeah.
And I've never had any, you know, thing like that. And I said, well, I don't want to get my cane in. I don't want to fall in there. So I just went to the regular modern facilities. But
right.
I do plan on asking, since my husband and I travel quite a bit, asking a mobility instructor to kind of advise me about how I would conquer that, because we will be traveling out of the country, so you run into a lot of different things.
Oh, that's a very good idea.
Yeah.
That's a very good idea. I don't know, unless there's a certain place where they're located, or just kind of go, you know, use your cane very well and kind of pay attention, I guess.
Right.
I've heard of that, but I've never encountered it, so I don't know.
There's a place here in Georgia, Habitat for Humanity. I think they have those all over the country, but they have a place where you go, and they show you the different homes and facilities they have around the country. And
okay.
So I knew about it because I had been on a tour, but I had never thought that I would have to use that. So if there's a Habitat for Humanity facility wherever anyone lives, they may want to go there just on a tour just to see what they may run into when they go to other countries.
Okay. That's a neat idea.
Hi, this is Anna. I have a question. I went on a cruise one time, and that was with my daughter, her husband, and my grandchildren. But my husband and I are really, really thinking about taking a cruise, you know, with ourselves.
Right.
The question is, because we both are blind, will we have to pay for a guide, or will they have someone to assist us because we are blind, or how do you do that?
Well, I'll tell you what I've experienced is there are so many the numbers of personnel to cruisers, you know, people on the cruise,
mm-hmm.
is like 2-1 or something like that. I mean, there's so much help on the cruise that you hardly need extra people to go with you. That's what their whole focus is. They are about serving you. And you barely, my experience has been, and I've been on really big ships and I've been on smaller ones, you hardly step off the elevator and there's somebody there asking if they can help you get somewhere, or do you need any, you know, where are you trying to go or whatever. And there's usually a tour at the beginning of the cruise.
Right.
Now, this is something to be aware of. They may try and have you pay an extra fee or sign a waiver or something like this to go on a cruise because of blindness, and that is definitely not a good thing. You don't need to do that because you're not a liability to anybody.
Right.
I assume you have canes or you
yes,
or are
both
used
have
to
canes.
Yeah, so you're used to going up and down stairs. You know what a stairway
is.
Oh,
yes.
Those are the things they're worried about. And if you just need to really talk to your travel agent or whoever you're booking this through,
right.
that you don't need any assistance because just the normal flow of the people coming and going and the friendliness of the other people on the cruise, I have never found that to be a huge issue.
Oh, that's good to know. What about when you get off the ship to tour different islands or whatnot?
You might go to, what do they call that? It's passenger services or something on the boat.
Okay.
And just talk to them. It's the people that do the tours.
Mm-hmm.
And just tell them that you'd like to get off and do a tour and, you know, see if you can work out some situation where there's a guide on the tour.
Right.
Or we've actually, on a smaller ship, had the tour people offer. It was a couple of ladies had the day off, and they one of our trips got canceled. One of our tours got canceled.
Mm-hmm.
They offered to get off the boat with us and go eat lunch and show us where the market was and some things like this. And they just did that. We didn't ask them to. They offered.
Oh,
and so, you know, if you talk to the people that are doing the tours, they might be willing to work something out like that.
Very good information. Thank you so much. A big
sure.
help.
Sure. And somebody was going to give a comment from New Jersey, I think. And
that was me.
Yeah. Go ahead. Okay.
No, that was. I had a question.
Sure.
Yeah, you answered my questions, yeah.
Okay, good.
Thank
good.
You so much.
Sure.
That's why I like these calls. I love them.
I learn a lot myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, so cruises are totally doable. The places on the ships, you get to know. They give a tour at the beginning of the cruise, usually, of where things are. And being blind, I think we can, that's a reasonable thing to ask, is give a tour, you know, to ask for a tour so you can get familiar with where the different things are on the ship. And every day they give you a little piece of paper that tells you all the various activities going on for that day. And there are some cruise lines who will braille that for people, or your cabin attendant could possibly go over that with you in the morning or sometime like that and give you an idea of what's happening that day on the ship, you know. But they also announce things very frequently.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Bingo's going on in the, you know, in the whatever lounge and
mm-hmm,
stuff like
mm-hmm.
this. So they announce quite a few things, too. So.
Very good.
Right.
Okay, you make me really feel like I'm ready to take that trip.
They are a lot of fun. You get very pampered. It's quite fun.
Thank you so much.
Sure. That kind of exhausts the list that I had written down of things, to, you know, stores and outings and eating establishments. Do people have trouble in eating establishments, getting around when there's that light and dark situation from coming out of bright sunlight outside into a restaurant that might be darker or something like that? In terms of traveling, I guess, or getting around. Or another one might be a shopping mall. You know, if you're going to a shopping mall and it's one you've not been to before, again, I like the idea of calling and talking to the people that are the information desk, and then they can find out kind of the layout of the mall and where the stores are, and especially the ones you want to go to. That is very helpful.
From Rebecca from New Jersey again, that is a lot helpful. Sometimes the malls here, the stores doesn't open till 9 and 10 o'clock, but the mall itself opens like at 6 or 7 and people go walking. And I sometimes go to the mall to walk as for exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm walking, I'm asking different ones, well, what store is this or what store is that? And if I'm just going to shop, I know exactly what store I'm going to. And like you say, I call ahead and find out exactly where is that store located from whatever interest I will be going, you know, in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot, you know, so helpful. Making that call, letting them know aware of your situation and when you're coming, and so I think that's very important. It's a big help.
Sure.
It's a big help to you.
Sure. let's see. Does anyone else have any things they would like to discuss? I got almost the top of the hour.
Yes, this is
go ahead.
Okay.
Yes.
Jalef from New Jersey?
Yes.
You were mentioning about going into a restaurant or going in from the outside to the inside. Did you
mm-hmm.
have any tips for that?
I guess there again, to me, the best help has been using a cane, from the standpoint that you've got the maybe the greeter that comes up and greets you, and then someone that would walk you to your table and that kind of thing. Almost using a cane is easiest in the sense that you can just go and follow with your cane and go by their voice instead of worrying about your eyes adjusting to different things. That is you know, can pose a little bit of a problem. I guess with the cane, then you don't have to wait, you know, a few minutes to till your eyes adjust. Another thing, you could take their elbow if you feel like you need to. You could take, so just say, may I take your elbow, and keep your cane with you and use it, but take their elbow and walk to the seat. And that way, by the time you get there and probably get seated, your eyes are a little bit more adjusted. And it depends on, you know, you. In other words, you want your lack of vision or adjustment to not be a hindrance and to slow you down, I guess. And that's why I would suggest the cane and or maybe taking someone's elbow when you go in. And making sure that you're hearing exactly where they're coming from. You know, left or right. And if they're, you know, sometimes they'll stand in front of you and look at you and go to your right when they really mean to your left. Mm-hmm. And it's because they're looking at you backwards, so to speak. So, you know, kind of aim with your hand or start taking a step one direction and say, you mean this way? And maybe do that before you actually, in that way you can, with your cane, you'll find out whether there's any obstacles in your path or anything like that.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Margie from Hawaii.
Yeah.
The restaurant, that's what I do.
That's
I usually have someone
just
take you to the table. And reading the menu, I have a large magnifying glass with a light. A light really helps.
Right.
And I can read the menu. I have a problem with missing the food to my mouth. Sometimes it doesn't always connect right. Is there, besides just taking a napkin, you know, tied around your neck, how can you maneuver your food better? And then the fork and knife, like I ended up with the fork on top of my magnifying glass, and because I laid it down on the side, and somebody mentioned, I was with some people, and says, hey, you got your, and I didn't say anything because I knew they didn't understand. But how do you kind of maneuver that situation a little bit better?
Sometimes for me, when I'm eating out, and of course there's kind of a technique for, like, say if you order a steak or a piece of chicken or something like that for to cut and stuff. But when I'm eating food, I'll use a piece of bread or even a knife and kind of feel where the edge of the plate is towards me and push things more towards the middle. And every now and then, just kind of make a swipe around the edge and kind of push your food a little closer to the center, especially as you eat more food. And that way, it's a little more likely to be in the middle of the plate rather than on the very edge of the plate. And that, a lot of times, can kind of help. Maybe you want to stick, sometimes I'll put a napkin, especially if I'm eating something a little more messy or something like that, I guess.
Stop requested.
You could set it under your plate and then have it kind of scrape off the edge of the table into your lap. And that way it might set things that might spill on. But that's, I guess that's one of the best, using a pusher, what we call a pusher, which would be either your knife. You could, if with your left hand, use your knife and push your food to the middle of the table. Or, I mean, the middle
bye-bye.
Of the plate. Bye. Thank you. Malala. Malala. That's it.
Okay. I had some interference. You take the knife and just push the food in the middle of the plate. So at least it stays on the plate, and then you can. But I have trouble with getting the food to my mouth sometimes because one eye sees different than the other eye. My depth perception is terrible. Pardon?
Oh, I was going to say maybe kind of get used to eating either maybe at home, eat with no lights on or kind of close your eyes a little bit to not pay attention to that food so that you're seeing it differently with each eye and kind of practice maybe, I don't know if that would be an idea that I might have, is eating without vision a little bit just from the standpoint that it gives you a little bit of that spatial awareness. Of how
by closing your eyes? Oh.
Yeah, closing your eyes. Then you're getting used to the feel of the distance and what's on the fork, the weight of the food on the fork. And you can, you know, you want to have your plate a little, not overly close to the edge of the table, but fairly close, and then you want to kind of not lean forward but sit up straight so that your food's, you know, you're going up to your mouth and stuff. Because sometimes if you're kind of leaning back or kind of slumped into the booth or something like that, then you can tend to, that distance is a little different.
Yeah, I just thought of something, just shut one eye, then you won't have the depth perception problem.
Exactly. Yeah?
Well, thank you. That's my own pitch.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Thank you for joining us. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think we've covered a lot of good territory today. And it's great to hear people I haven't talked to for a while on the phone, Mary Ellen, and stuff. I'm very glad to hear you on a call. So, Estelle and different ones that have been on the other calls, and I hope this has been helpful to people. And you can feel free to reuse this information by getting on the senior website. And you can download this information and listen to it again for your chapters or for your own use.
It'll be up tomorrow, yes.
Very good. Is it right out about the top of the hour?
It's a little after the top of the hour.
All righty.
Yeah.
How will we know about the next call?
There is no other call until probably after the national convention. I would guess possibly in September we'll start up again.
How will we know?
Okay. What is it? Seniors@nfb.org is the website. And you can get on that if you're familiar with that. There's a listserv, and I don't know the address for that for sure. Robert, do you?
I think that's where I got this from.
Okay.
I got it from an email.
There you go. There
right.
will be
an email.
Emails sent out.
Yes. There will be emails
sent
out. And if you're on the list, you will get notice of the next conference call. And
okay.
It probably won't be till September is my guess. Yeah. All right. And I hope we'll see some people at National Convention. Yeah.
Very good, Miss Shelley.
All righty. Thank you. And we'll talk soon. Okay. Bye.
Thank you very much.
Bye. You bet. Bye.
Thanks, Shelley.
You
Thank
bet.
You, Shelley.
Bye. Yeah. Bye.
Thank you, Shelley. This has really been helpful. Travis here.
Oh, very good. Are you from Montana?
Oh, but are you Louisiana?
Louisiana. Okay, got it. Well, very good. Glad that it worked for you.
Thank
you. Jerry McGinty from New Jersey. Thanks. I enjoyed it.
Oh, great. I'm glad you called in.
All right.
All right.
Have a good one.
All righty. Well,
bye-bye.
Talk to you again. Bye. Thank you.